Tomas Stanko joins us on the checkout. Thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Your new recording is called Dark Eyes, and it's based on the title selection is based on a painting, is it not?
That's true. You know, across the park, you know, from here I was, this was my first museum what I visit. That was Mr. Ronald Lauder Museum, Neue Gallery.
Oh, yes.
That's fantastic museum, and I love this period. I'm fan of visual art. And inside was Kokoska, portrait of Martha Hirsch. And she has really dark eyes, a little crazy, and I look for this for her eyes, and I get inspiration from this picture. I made the name of the composition, The Dark Eyes of Martha Hirsch, and title from the record a little shorter, just Dark Eyes.
It's interesting that Oskar Kokoschka, the artist that you're referring to, he had a relationship unrequited, you know, that was, he loved Alma Mahler, Gustav Mahler's
wife.
Yeah,
I know. I think she had plenty of great, of giants. Alma was really interesting person, yeah, sure, I know this.
We're here at your apartment at the corner of 86th Street on the west side and Amsterdam Avenue. I wonder if one of the songs on here, Amsterdam Avenue, has a reference to the fact that you can look out your window.
Exactly, because I just, after wake up, I have upstairs is my sleeping place, and I can look like from balcony just for the Amsterdam Avenue and check how is the traffic and noise.
A little too busy for your taste, or you
no,
love it?
No, I loved it. I love cities very much. That was reasons, and I try to be longer time in New York, because New York is for me today something like in the past, you know, like, I don't know, Babylon, like top place, top city in the world today, in the civilization today. I think that's of course, that's true. And I just want to live a couple of years in this biggest city in the world and have all kind of pleasure what this kind of cities offer to inhabitants.
Tomas Stanko is our guest on the checkout. The new recording on ECM is called Dark Eyes. You were part of this amazing Polish jazz scene that sort of germinated, I guess, in the 1950s when The Voice of America was broadcasting.
Exactly. That was something in the 50s, you know, in the middle of 50s. Jazz was slowly more and more popular in Poland. Was kind of synonym of freedom, of jazz music was kind of synonym of free USA, you know, and freedom, what we don't have in the in dark communist time. Also, Willis Canover was very famous
radio broadcaster
and radio producer. And that was my first education, his radio programs. Also, I remember 57 was in Poland, Dave Brubeck, and that was my first jazz live concert. And I was really impressed of this music, and that was the reason that I started to thinking about this and play and try to be a professional trumpet player.
Now, as you heard, this freedom music that originated from the United States and infiltrated the communist bloc at the time, tell me about your first impression actually setting foot in the United States. Were you disappointed? Were you, like, relieved that, you know, that it was a completely everything that you had expected?
Difficult to know, because I was quite late in U.S., you know. I think I first time I'm coming 80s. of course, was completely different in Poland. But I was traveling since 1963 all over the Europe quite often. I was playing quite often in Germany, France, Scandinavia, especially with my quintet, especially like end of 1960s and beginning of 1970s.
And also Christoph Komeda.
Yeah, but we don't play too much together. I was just starting to play with him.
Did he have some influence on?
Absolutely, absolutely. His lyricism and predisposition to novelty, but also to the tradition at the same time. That's also, I have the same kind of things. I was pretty avant-garde trumpet player. My beginning was from Ornette Coleman, George Russell, and later Coltrane. But also I like very, very much tradition, and I think now I am more close to the tradition in jazz.
I find it interesting as I listen to the music on Dark Eyes. It does have an inkling of, you know, what made the avant-garde, you know, kind of release of sort of rhythmic structures. But at the same time, it's this incredibly lyrical music.
I like lyricism. That's my characteristic things. You know, I like very much. That's my predisposition to the tradition. You know,
is the lyricism.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the scene for jazz in Poland. I mean, is there an underlying characteristic that kind of connects everyone in terms of a cultural identity to the music itself?
I think it's pretty similar than everywhere in Europe now. We are really connected, you know, and it's quite a lot of, as everywhere, quite a lot of young musicians. We have one quite okay school, and many private schools, and education is quite okay, and we have also quite much small festivals in Poland. We have, since, you know, this in the 60s, we have 50s and 60s, we have quite a strong tradition in this part of Europe with the jazz, because in Poland was especially free to play this music. I don't know why. That's probably accident, you know, this our censure, this our cultural censure, and Communist Party people, they don't really care. They even like some kind of jazz.
The censors like
jazz. Yeah, jazz was not really dangerous for them, without word, a little small, you know, things, and they want also participate to atmosphere in the jazz concert, maybe they kids, you know, or something like this. Anyway, we was in Poland was much more free than in Czechoslovakia, for example, or Russia, and we have really...
You had festivals shortly after the Newport Festival.
Was something like 50,
56,
something
or
like this, yeah. Jazz Jamboree was quite big festival. I remember in 63, Cecil Taylor gives us concert, solo concert, very, very strong, very free, very modern, and it was really standing ovation.
You were part of Cecil Taylor's big band.
I was once, you know, I was playing with in Two Continents Orchestra with Cecil and a couple of European guys, and also Jimmy Lyons and Karen Bocca and Frank Wright. It was nice, very nice band, beautiful. I really respect Mr. Taylor. For me, he's really a legend of this music.
You're able to connect almost to the entire tradition and yet find and find a distinctive strain. There is a distinctive European strain for improvised music. I mean, let's take, for instance, this recording, Dark Eyes. You have yourself, you have, you know, someone from Denmark, you have someone from Finland. I mean, but yet you come together and kind of create this holistic sound. Is it your voice or is it the voice of a larger Europe?
I think that's my voice, because that's I recognize that first things what I recognize from American jazz music is individualism. Everybody cared this. I remember from interviews, everybody says this, that I have my own sound, I have my own line, and that's true. And in Europe was a little different, because in the beginning we tried to follow. I mean, very positive things was this, that I play similar than Coltrane or similar than Parker. What was not positive things here, because that was, you know. And I, from the beginning, I heard this. I remember if I was starting from Ornette Music, but I remember that I have some information from some interview with the Coltrane about this. If you want to make your own music, let's start to compose. Because through composition you can build yourself. And also sound. I feel that sound is very, very important. And I always care sound. And I have pretty my sound, you know, on trumpet. Very much with Maes sound, because I love him. Maes is really my biggest guru with everything, with conducting, with take decision, with who he play, you know, with many things. With many things, simplicity. You know, what is very difficult and not so usual for improvisers, you know, to play not enough, not too much, right. A little only.
It's hard, yes?
That's very hard, because improvisers like to play.
Yeah.
That is, but Maes can do this. Maes was one of the biggest person. He have always invent players like Coltrane or Adderley or Wayne Shorter, always the best player. Why he have to play? No, better if they play more. Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm always care this, and I always take from records and from interviews knowledge what Maes have. I think that's most important artist in the 20th century, 20th and 21st century.
It's funny because I've heard people describe Miles Davis and the arc of his career as having the ability. He wasn't the greatest trumpet player, technically proficient all the way up and down the horn, but he found a way to maximize
absolutely
what he had.
Absolutely. And also, you know, he know how to conduct
right.
The band. How to, because that's his kind of soft point of jazz, this our improvisation. Because to improvise, to play, is really big pleasure. And you have to be higher, bigger than this, and try to go under this, and because anyway, music need kind of control with the form. If improvisation are too long, and proportion between team and this are kind of without any rules, that's no good for music.
Right.
That's no good for music. Maes know this perfectly. Perfect.
You even described your sound, Tomas Stanko, as dirty. What do you mean by that?
Dirty means with air, you know, with kind of dirty part of sound. Dirty part of sound. I think dirty sound is really characteristic also for jazz. I mean, mostly every kind of like Coltrane sound is also kind of dirty.
But that's not a negative connotation.
That's absolutely positive connotation. That's absolutely positive. Dirtiness is really important for art. I think every big art have kind of dirtiness inside.
Tomas Stanko is our guest on the Checkout. The new recording on ECM is called Dark Eyes. We're here in your apartment, and while you were making me coffee, thank you, by the way,
thank you.
I noticed up here on the shelf you have quite a collection of hats.
I am like that's my also kind of soft point. I like clothes, you know. I love hats, you know. And of course, in this city, you can find. I recognize quite soon a couple of really great hat shops, you know, in Fifth Avenue also.
J&J Hat Shop.
Yes, but also very good hat is with special hats. Those hats are from the Houston street. Some Japanese people have small shops.
Yeah,
fantastic shops, fantastic hats. And I am quite often, you know, here and look for new kind of models.
You've got a bowler, you've got pork pie. What's your favorite style of hat?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, I like every any kind of hat, so I change what I like. I mean, this also is nice, this small cylinder, like clean Eastwood hat, a little this one. This is also nice from this right side, from my here. It's kind of like old-fashioned, and a couple of, this is Japanese, I think, hats.
Well, they always say it's not the hat, it's the man who wears it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Tomas Stanko is our guest on the checkout. And the new recording is called Dark Eyes. I'd like to talk to you about some limitations. Do you feel like you have some at this point? I understand that you had your teeth completely...
Yeah, I mean, I lost teeth that was genetically after my mother. I have current parodontosis, I think. And I lost teeth something almost 20 years ago, 92. But I learned, you know.
That must have been scary as hell.
Yeah, that was kind of, you know, hard moment for my life. I was thinking that maybe I stopped to play because I don't want to have these implants. Because otherwise, if I have implants, I cannot pressing. I think if I'm not pressing, I don't play, you know, because music, especially trumpet playing, need power.
You need the pressure.
Yeah, I need strong pressure, you know, to get even this dirtiness. And to play kind of with live, with my sound. But then I learned, you know, it was quite a long process, and I feel now perfectly.
What's the last piece of visual work that you've seen that sort of jolted you into inspiration?
I was thinking, you know, in the beginning of this year, because I'm coming just now, was Kandinsky exhibition. Mm. Incredible exhibition.
What did you love about it?
I love everything. Abstraction. Yeah. I love his music, musicians' connections. And also, you know, I can learn a lot from him, but also I was learning before I was in Francis Bacon, fantastic exhibition. And I am not really fan of his aesthetic, you know. But generally, I can learn myself a lot of things. For example, what was abstraction for him? That for him was kind of deformation of figure, of special kind of deformation, or probably he likes realistic painting. He was not abstraction guy as a Kandinsky.
Right.
But he, of course, want to know how to deform this kind of things to make much more interesting and deeper kind of looking for realistic person, for example, for portrait. I am doing kind of similar. I try to do more now serious. For this, what I'm doing in music, as you know, I love this kind of melodics, lyricism.
But abstracted.
But, you know, I'm not abstracted, of course, but why? Because if you are too melodic, easy to be corny.
Yeah.
That's very easy to be corny, because especially today. Because everything is going, time is going, everything is changing. It's not any the same rules. Everything is like a river, like water changing. That means I find a way how to a little deform this as Francis Bacon, how to deformed yes. This kind of simple, beautiful melody to have really deepness in this part of my composition. That was from him. That was from him. I always do this a little. But anyway, that was from him. Mm.
Well, let's hear it on Dark Eyes. This is Tomas Stanko and the new CD on ECM Records. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you
us.
Very much. Thank you very much for the invitation.